I think that you've had really two events over the last couple months. You've had one, a liquidity event in August that the Fed monetized a few weeks ago by lowering rates 50 basis points more than those expected. And then you've had credit worries. But in the liquidity problems, you have some shares just beat down so hard that you had a lot of people come into the market with a lot of extra capital around that pushed shares up to an all-time high yesterday. And you have some people, as you have kind of a more bearish trend, and the economy still has the potential to roll over, probably taking some money off the table at this point.
So essentially, you think this is a relatively short-term move, that there is some uncertainty there, there is a lot of worry, a lot of people have kind of in and then quickly back out again, having made a profit. And it's rather hard, therefore, presumably, to discern the future direction of the Dow.
Charles, that's absolutely correct. I mean, I would say there is a ton of uncertainty right now. I think that some financial shares and some of the companies that are tied to the mortgage market do present compelling valuations right now for the truly long-term investor, think 3 to 5 years. But in the near term, you've got a lot of credit turmoil that the Fed has effectively delayed, maybe, or tried to make a softer landing by lowering rates. But that remains to be seen. I think you've seen the housing data coming out, and you're coming into a holiday season retail-wise that could be quite weak because of that. So it's a really kind of a wait-and-see approach with the market right now, though there are pockets of attractive valuations.
What was striking on Monday was that we had two big banks, Citigroup in the United States and UBS in Switzerland, coming out and effectively cleaning up their balance sheets, taking big hits, which was ugly and painful, but essentially moving forward with a lot of the bad news certainly already out there, and their stocks went up quite sharply. Do you think that it will be that easy for some of the other banks to cast off some of these subprime worries?
Well, with Citi and UBS, they're such huge, large, global money banks that by writing down those loans, they can basically move forward and reallocate capital into more high-return businesses right now. Some of the smaller players who are more tied to the mortgage market, it's going to take a little bit longer for them to play out, and they're going to have potentially some more restructuring, some more pain to go through on their balance sheets. But for the larger players, I think the market was expecting even worse just because of the severe liquidity crunch in August, and seeing at least some clarity along those lines, you know, was a relief to some investors.
Let's look at the broader world scene, because we are seeing a great deal of strength clearly in Asia. Do you suspect that Asia, rather than Europe, and certainly rather than the United States, is going to be where the excitement will be, if you like, for equity investors in the next few months, possibly years?
Well, Charles, I will tell you this. The highest growth areas in the world right now are in Asia. Really, you look at all the Asian countries, you know, clearly led by China, which seems to be on everybody's tongue these days. But that's where the highest growth is. That's where so many of the manufacturing and production jobs have moved. And in Asia, it's basically re-engineering. I mean, you can almost think about Japan 20 or 30 years ago when they were going through their growth period. I mean, so many countries in Asia right now are in that type of growth phase where just the average consumer is going to be buying washing machines, dryers, refrigerators, cars, and there's going to be a huge amount of growth and expenditure by them as they become more of a developed country, more than a third world countries.